Hello and welcome to Sister Act. This is a podcast where two sisters talk about movie musicals. I am one of those sisters. My name is Jackie.
I am the other one. My name is Nicola.
This is our last episode together over the holiday break. Yeah. Time has flown by. I think we only did one other, actually.
No, we did two. We did Lyle Crocodile.
Oh, we did Lyle over this.
But no, that was over Thanksgiving. Okay. But I didn't release it until I was back home.
Well, anyway, we're rounding off our holiday season with Matilda the musical, or Roald Dahl's Matilda the Musical, as it's formally called for some reason. And it starts with a weird, like, Roald Dahl
Wonka bar, and then it unwraps, and there's a golden ticket that pops out that says Roald Dahl.
Which I really don't think happens in any other Roald Dahl adaptation. I don't know what their hand was in this, but...
Well, he does have a production company, but it's not just called Roald Dahl. It's like the Roald Dahl story production company or something. But maybe this is their first movie.
Well, anyway, both you and I had seen a stage show, but I think both of us too long ago to really, like, be able to do a good script-to-screen stage-to-screen comparison.
I was, like, going to work on the stage show last summer, reread the script fairly recently, but I don't know it, like, by heart. The last song, I was like, I really couldn't tell you if this was in the show or not.
Yeah. Did we ever find out?
It wasn't.
Okay. Cool. But it was directed by the same guy who directed the stage show, so it was pretty faithful.
Yeah. It had a very similar energy and story, obviously.
Yeah.
And even, like, the only song I can think of other than Loud... Well, actually, they got rid of Matilda's older brother.
Yes, I was aware
all
of that.
All of the family musical numbers were cut.
All the stuff about TV.
Yeah. But,
But that's okay, because they really slowed down the stage show.
Yeah. But the only other thing I can think of that was cut is that Miss Honey song called Pathetic. That's, like, kind of a weird, boring song. So they just, she would call herself Pathetic a couple times, and that was enough. I had no issues with what they chose to cut and what they chose to focus on.
Yeah. Should we
Let's talk get about into it? What happens.
Yeah, so the first number is Miracle.
So it's like, and it was so cute. It was all these little babies. And then it's like, my mommy says, I'm a miracle.
I was kind of like, I would prefer if this was singing children to, like, close shots of glowy baby faces, but it was fine.
Looking at babies. Yeah. And then there's all the parents, like, ogling their babies, taking pictures. And then Matilda's mom is, like, very much 9 months pregnant. And she's in the doctor's office, and she's like, what do you mean I'm pregnant? Like, I'm not. And then he sings about how giving birth, or,
every,
like,
baby,
every
delivers
baby is a miracle.
Every life is a miracle, yeah.
And he's like, you are so lucky. You've been given this perfect, healthy, beautiful daughter. And they're like, why do bad things always happen to good people? And they're just... very obviously going to be bad parents.
Yes. And they are. Yes. We flash forward in time, and they keep calling Matilda a boy, and they forgot to send her to school. But first we see that she spends all her time at the library. The library, for some reason, is a truck. And it's the librarian is, like, a kooky lady. She has, like, less to do than she did at the stage show. She, like, loves Matilda and thinks Matilda's so cool. And there are, like, moments where she's like, oh, your parents must be really grateful for you. But they don't really, like, turn into anything else. But she's reading, like, 25 books on the roof of the truck. And the librarian's like, I've packed up everything into my truck, so you gotta go home.
But tomorrow I'll be at the school.
She goes somewhere else every day.
Random place every day. And it's not... usually
it's never like the town square.
Would be.
Yeah, it's like the
She's
windmill.
Like, the library is going to the lake today, so good luck, everybody, if you want to get books, because you won't see me. So that's a little whimsical of her, I guess.
So Matilda goes home. Her parents are terrible. And then, I didn't remember, so, oh wait, so then the school is there. They're like, you didn't send Matilda to school. You forgot. We know you have a daughter that you didn't send to school, so what are you doing? Are you homeschooling her? And they're like, yeah, we're homeschooling her. And she's frankly so, like, she's such a little autodidact. Is that the word for someone who teaches themselves everything?
Sounds like it. Auto
something. She's a little self-learned. She teaches herself everything. It's, she knows how to do advanced math, and she's reading so advancedly that probably she doesn't need to go to school. But she wants to go to school anyway.
She loves learning, so why wouldn't she want to go to school?
Yeah, that's true. But her parents sort of, you know, the school she's going to go to is a terrible school, but it's also the public school, apparently, that, like, the government sent the teacher from the horrible academy to make sure she was going to school.
It's, like, actually crazy that that's a public school, and no one's thought to be like,
I know, I don't really know that much about the British education system. It is, like, weird, right? Like, are there public schools? But public school is, like, a posh thing. I don't understand.
Public school is posh?
I don't know.
But public school you don't have to pay for, so why would people who don't have money pay for
private school? I don't know. I'm probably wrong. I just think there's something weird about schools in the UK.
I don't believe
and the
it.
Language of, like, public school and the way and the kinds of schools that exist. But I refuse to do any research, so I'm just going to throw that out there, that maybe there's nothing weird about this at all.
So, she sings Naughty, which is, she's talking about how you can't just accept the way life is, and even if you're little, you can do a lot, and she decides to prank her dad, so she puts... I don't even know.
Hair dye in his hair toner or tonic or whatever. No, he, like, just is always, like, putting some tonic in his hair, and then his hair. It's in a pink bottle, but then his hair turns green. Maybe that's what happens when you dye brown hair. Pink. Probably not. Anyway, his hair's green. And he's like, Matilda, what did you do? And she's singing about how you have to be naughty with a pelican on the roof of the house.
And then
she's like climbing the house.
She lives in the attic also.
Yeah.
So then she jumps through like a
skylight
window. And then she's like in bed and he's like, Matilda. And then he sees that she's asleep and he's like, huh. And then we see her and she like gives a little smile like hee hee.
So the next morning she wakes up, oh, and he also, before she sings Naughty, the reason she sings Naughty is because he's like, I called the principal of your school and I told her that you're a troublemaker. Now you gotta go to school and I'm setting you up to fail, ha ha ha. And she's like, no! And then she does her little prank. So then she walks to school the next morning. No one drives her. She's just hitchhiking down the road.
And she gets there. Like an hour early.
And the librarian's like, here I am. As I said, I'm at the school today. And Matilda's like, oh, it's my first day. And they have a little conference. Oh, she starts to tell.
Her parents get in a fight. Did that happen already when she calls him an escapologist? And then Matilda's like, an escapologist? I don't know. I don't remember what the content of the fight was, but for some reason her mom calls her dad an escapologist. And then Matilda tells this story to the librarian about an escapologist and an acrobat who fell in love, and all they wanted was a child, but they couldn't get pregnant. And then they were going to do this crazy trick where the girl with dynamite in her hair, or the burning woman, I don't know,
dynamite
flies
in her
through
hair,
the air.
Flying through the air
over
sharks.
And the man in a cage.
Over sharks and pointy objects caught by the man in the cage.
But then everyone gets there, and then the man, the escapologist, is like, we will not be performing
this. Doesn't
this.
Happen yet, I don't
oh,
think.
Doesn't?
I think we just learned that they're going to do that.
Okay. Alrighty.
That incredible feat.
Okay. And then she's like, I don't know how the rest of the story goes. And the librarian is like, what do you mean? She's like, it just comes to me. Alright, gotta go to school.
So she goes and to school, and the kids are like, this school is hell! And they sing that song that's the alphabet.
It's called School Song. The girl in the red beret, who's, like, super famous on TikTok now, she's like, she's just sitting alone, and then she starts singing it. And then other older kids join in. And I love that song, but, like, it's so hard to, like, really catch how clever it is. And then I was like, okay, the second time they sing it, I was like, this is great. They're, like, walking down in all the classrooms, have, like, a letter, and then they're, like, passing it as they say the letter.
Right, what's but happening then, is that they're singing this thing, like, about how school is torture, but they're singing through the alphabet as well.
Because they're like, oh, in school we learn the alphabet, and Matilda's like, I already know the alphabet, and then this older kid is like, well, you don't know this school's alphabet. Be very aware. But then, as they keep going, they pass all the classrooms, and they're, like, in a boiler room, and there's just letters all over the place. I'm like, this has gone too far for me. Like, I appreciated the, and maybe it would have gotten boring, but I felt like that makes sense that a classroom would have a letter, and then why would there be a Q on the, like, boiler room door? I don't know. But it was still, I like that number, and I like the way it was danced to and performed.
Yeah, I think a lot of the music in Matilda is, like, smart and not necessarily catchy. Like, I couldn't sing that song for you, and clearly you can't either, because you were, like, very aware.
I can think but it of is, like, it in my head, but I can't remember all the words.
I can't even hear it in my head, but I do really respect it. Oh, sure, yeah.
But yeah, that's true. The music isn't all super catchy, but it is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and you, like, you have to take a moment, you have to, like, make yourself appreciate it, but then when you do, you're like, oh, wow, I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And then, oh, also, the girl in the red beret, her name is Hortensia. She also has a broken arm that never gets addressed.
And so then, she goes to school.
Oh, everyone's in the hallway. They just finished the number. And then Miss Trunchbull, played by Emma Thompson, over the, like, PA, is like, everyone who's not in their classroom in 10 seconds gets beat up. And Matilda and this girl, Lavender, are both new students. And Lavender has a pet newt that she brought with her. And they don't know where they're going. And they're like, oh my god, it's one and we don't know where to go. And then Miss Honey is like, girls, come in here. And then they're in class.
She's their teacher.
Yes. And
she's the very first thing that happens is she's like, who wants to polish up the whiteboard? Or the blackboard, meaning, like, clean it. But instead, Matilda solves all the equations on the board. And Miss Honey's like, what? Is math your favorite subject? You're so good at it. And she's like, well, my favorite subject is reading. And then Miss Honey's like, oh, do you like to read? What have you read? And she's like, well, this week I read Jane Eyre and
Moby Dick and the Wuthering Heights. I don't know.
Just like a bunch. The Cat in the Hat.
Yeah.
That's her last one. And Miss Honey's like, what? You're so crazy and smart. Well, we're going to have to do something about that. So she goes to see Miss Trunchbull, who she's very afraid of, because Miss Trunchbull is a scary mean lady.
And as she's knocking on the door, she's like, don't be pathetic.
And then she goes in and she's like, I think that Matilda Wormwood is a genius. And Miss Trunchbull's like, well, I heard from her dad that she's annoying and stupid, so I'm going to go with that. And I won't make any exceptions to any rules about how school works. And Miss Honey's like, but she's, like, clearly exceptionally bright. Like, we need to put her in the top form right now so that she can, like, learn stuff. Because she already knows everything that I'm going to teach her in, whatever, first grade. And Miss Trunchbull's like, there are no exceptions to rules. Do you think that I threw the hammer for England in the Olympics because I made an exception to the rules of hammer throwing? And she's like, no, obviously that's not how sports work. This is completely unrelated. But then Ms. Trunchbull sings this whole song about how, like, if you want
to hammer, and if you want to throw the hammer for your country, you have to stay inside the lines.
And then she has, like, the children
sing. Yeah, she goes over the PA, she's like, everyone sing and dance. And then, like, all in the classrooms, like, if you want to throw the hammer for your country. And they do a little dance. And then they have flags, and they're doing a whole thing outside.
Yeah.
And then, I don't remember how that, like, gets resolved. She's just like, get out of here.
Yeah. She says, we won't be making any exceptions for Matilda. And Miss Honey's like, ah, dang. And she leaves.
And then Matilda's back home, right?
Probably.
It's, does she sing Naughty Reprise when she's putting the glue in the hat? Or is that different?
She gets in a little fight with her dad. Yeah, her dad is, like, scamming people. Someone wanted to buy a luxury car, and he had two luxury cars that had been totaled, one in the back, one in the front, so he cut them apart and glued them together. And she's like, you are cheating them! That's not fair! And he's like, you know what's not fair? I'm gonna destroy your library books or whatever.
Like, oh yeah, she's reading The Grapes of Wrath, and he's like, you're so stupid! Grapes don't get angry! And she's like, it's not about grapes, Dad! And then he rips it up, and her mom is like, yes! Rip up that book! We hate books! We hate you! And then she goes upstairs to try to glue the book back together, but then she's like, wait a minute, what if I glue my dad's hat to his head?
So she sets her alarm clock for really early, and then she goes and she puts glue on the inside of the hat. It's like, have a good day at work, Dad. And he's like, his hat stuck to his head. And
that's that. Then she goes back to school. Maybe she goes and tells Mrs. Phelps at the lake more of the story now.
Yeah, probably. I think it's after school she goes to the lake, because Mrs. Phelps says at the end of the first day of being in the library, she's like, tomorrow I'll be at the lake. They're like, lake? Who's going to the lake for the book? And there's you never see a single other person at the library. To the extent that at one point Matilda leaves a note for Mrs. Phelps at the library, and she just, like, there is a note for her that's just like, hey Matilda, something about the library, and she leaves a note back that's like, Miss Phelps, life is hard, or whatever, but just like, like, they're the only two people who ever go to this library truck. There's no fear that anyone else will intercept this note or be confused.
Because she only tells Matilda where it's gonna be.
Yeah, no one else even knows. There isn't the internet. There's no way to find out.
But so, she's at school. There was also, I think this was the first day that this boy is like, Do you have telekinesis? They're all like, oh my god, Matilda, how are you so smart? And she's like, I don't know. And then this one boy is like, do you have telekinesis? That's when your brains are so big that they explode out of your eyes and you can move things with your brain. And she's like, I don't know. And then that's that. But then they're outside and they're talking about...
The girl in the red beret is like... You don't even know the worst of it. Miss Trunchbull has this other punishment that we didn't mention in that song with the alphabet, but now it gets its own song, and it's called Chokey. And it's, like, very unpleasant, and they sing a song about how this little torture chamber that she has for children exists, which is very upsetting. And then a little boy runs out, and he's like, oh no, Miss Trunchbull thinks that I did something bad, and I'm gonna get tried. Like, I didn't do it, I swear, but she thinks it's me, and she's gonna put me in Chokey. And everyone's like, not Chokey! Chokey's so bad!
Well, I actually think that the way this goes is that they're all hanging out, and then Nigel runs in, and he's like, oh my god, guys, someone hide me, I'm in trouble. And then they're all like, oh no, Nigel! And Hortensia is like, sorry, there's nothing we can do, it's the Chokey for you. And then they...
but anyway, Miss Trunchbull comes out, and she's
well,
like...
Well, Matilda is like... How long ago did this happen? And he's like, 20 minutes? And then she's like, go lie down over there. Everyone, blazers! And they all throw their blazers on him. And then get in line, and Miss Trunchbull comes out. And
Miss Trunchbull doesn't get in place in time. Miss Trunchbull singles her out, and it's like, freaking Wormwood, I knew you were a worm. Your dad freaking warned me you were disobedient. Where's Bruce?
And Nigel.
Nigel.
And then she's like, he's lying under all those blazers. And everyone is like, girl, what the hell? And then she's like, where he has been for the past hour. And she's like, what do you mean? And then she's like, well, Nigel suffers from narcolepsy, and we all wanted to cover him with our blazers to protect him while he was sleeping. And then Nigel's like, oh, I had the strangest dream. And Miss Trunchbull is really mad that she can't get him in trouble. So then she goes, Amanda Thripp! You're wearing pigtails, and I hate pigtails. And then she goes over and she grabs this girl by the pigtails and picks her up and swings her around and then throws her like
a hammer.
Yeah. And then she's like, someone go check that she's still alive. And then they run and they're like, she's alive. And she gets up and she gives thumbs up. But Miss Trunchbull is not satisfied with that.
Yeah, Miss Trunchbull wanted her to be dead. So, that's happened. That's kind of the end of that day, right?
Maybe later that day at lunch. No, I think that happens.
So then she goes, she tells more of the story to Miss Phelps at the library. And she tells Miss Phelps that the escapologist and the acrobat are ready to do the dynamite in her hair, spiky objects, man in a cage act. And they're the stepsister of the acrobat has organized the whole thing. And so everyone's excited except for her. She's like a very stern, mean woman. She was an Olympic hammer thrower, fun detail. Clearly Matilda seems to be drawing on her own experiences and telling this story.
Mm-hmm.
But they get ready to do the thing, but then the man comes out and he announces, we will not be doing the thing today because my wife is pregnant. And everyone cheers and cheers. She comes out and everyone cheers for them for a full hour. They're so excited. And Miss Phelps is like, what a happy ending. But Matilda's like, no, it's not a happy ending. Because then the stepsister who helped organize the whole thing is like, you signed a contract, and a contract is a contract. And so you have to do this act. Even if you, if you don't, you'll go to jail or whatever. Like, you and your baby have to do this thing. And everyone's like, oh, no. But so they go and they get ready to do it. And that's where Matilda stops feeling this. She's like, I don't know what happens next. And the woman's like, no, Matilda, you gotta be better at knowing this ending of your story. She also points out that it's taking kind of a dark turn.
Yeah.
Matilda's like, it's just a story, Miss Phelps. And Miss Phelps is like, what? Oh. Oh, I don't know what's happening with this character.
She has kind of crazy reactions to everything Matilda says. But, So then she goes back to school.
It's lunch. Miss Trunchbull is like, somebody ate a slice of my But first, Miss Honey is like, hey, Matilda, I know that I'm not supposed to make any exceptions, so you can't go to the other class, but I'm gonna get a bunch of really advanced books for you to just read in the corner while class is happening, because I want you to be able to not be bored by our learning of the alphabet and stuff. And Matilda's like, oh, Miss Honey, and she gives her the biggest hug in the world, or something like that.
And Miss Honey says, Matilda, this is the biggest hug in the world. You can squeeze all the air out of me or something. And then
Miss
Trunchbull is like, no touching the students!
No, because she's like, I said no exceptions. And Miss Honey's like, I'm so pathetic. And then she's like, Miss Trunchbull's like, anyway, changing the subject, somebody's eaten a slice of my chocolate cake, my personal chocolate cake. And I think it's, and she just picks a random kid and accuses them. And that kid's like, no, I swear it wasn't me. And then Bruce lets out the loudest burp in the world for like 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miss Trunchbull's like, and then we see the burp cloud drift over to her and she smells it. And she's like, that's chocolate cake. I'm going to kill this kid. So she's like, okay, all will be forgiven if you eat the entire cake.
And it's a huge cake. It's ridiculous that she would bring this to school for herself.
And he's like, but I'm full. And she's like, well, then you should have thought about that before you took a slice of my cake. And he starts eating the whole thing. And he's doing it. And the kids are singing a song like,
called Bruce. There's no excuse, Bruce. If I have a day, you know, caboose, Bruce, I don't know. They're just like, come on, do it. They're all dancing around him in the middle of the cafeteria, shoveling this cake into his mouth. And then he eats the last bite.
Yeah, he does it.
And his honey, like, screams with joy. And she's like, yes, Bruce, I'm so proud of you. And then Miss Trunchbull, like, looks at her and is mad. And she's like, I'm sorry. I don't know what that was. And then she's like, well...
That was just part one of your punishment. Yeah. Part two is that you go to Chokey. And Matilda's like, no, that's not fair. You changed the rules. You're nothing but a cheat. You're like my terrible dad. And Miss Trunchbull...
Yeah, she calls her a terrible, awful, horrible bully!
No, a bully is next time. This time she just says she's a cheat.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
But even though she says that's cheating and she says no to Miss Trunchbull takes Bruce... you know, Matilda tries to grab Bruce's hand and pull him back, but Miss Trunchbull, she's so strong she throws the hammer for her country. Yeah. She drags Bruce away and puts him in the torture chamber. Presumably overnight.
I know.
He doesn't go home that night.
It's also, I always imagined the Chokey to be, like, in Miss Trunchbull's office or something, but it is literally, like, a shack in the middle of the woods. so that's fun.
So then the kids are going home and they're all just, like, demoralized from this terrible day, and they sing When I Grow Up, which is just a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm. Like, when it starts, it feels, like, a little bit out of place. Like, it's not out of place because it's like, oh, these adults have all this power over us. But just the way it starts, it's just, like, Lavender is, like, looking at these older kids climbing a tree. And she's like, well, I'll be old enough to climb the branches.
I thought the way that this was shot and, like, staged was kind of hokey, but...
No, but then once, I don't remember who the second person, but he's like, riding a tricycle, and then he imagines he's riding a motorcycle.
He's got training wheels on.
Oh, yeah. But once we get into it, I'm like, this is perfect. This is amazing.
I liked when they were when one girl is like driving the bus. So So it's like each kid sings like a little, their little lines, just like sitting in their inferior places, which two kids are just like riding the bus alone. I'm like, that's pretty grown up. And one kid is like biking home with his family, but he doesn't like his training wheels.
I thought she was riding the bus
with her mom. Maybe. Yeah. But anyway, then they become adults, so his bike becomes a motorcycle, and she becomes the bus driver. I think we spend too much time with motorcycle kid, and then weirdly, two kids are just, like, pilots, and they're doing, like, little airplane tricks, and then there's, like, a big, like an Air Force display of the jet trails.
But it's just, like, a celebration of childhood imagination and... It's beautiful and lovely.
I think it's lovely, but I think the loveliness comes 85% from the music. Like, it's just such a lovely song that there's... You couldn't make it not lovely.
But I thought that it was.
Okay.
Okay. And then, and Miss Honey is like, when I grow up, I will be old enough to fight the monsters.
She's not as tearful. No. When I saw this on Broadway, the woman who was playing Miss Honey, I was like, you gotta get it together, girl. She was really like, when she sees
pathetic.
She was like, crying. Like, I was like, there's a child here, like, in front of, like, just maybe tone it down a little bit.
No, Lashana Lynch gives a good performance.
Yeah.
I was just emphasizing that it gets a little, it goes from, like, when I grow up, to, like, a little more... sad.
Yeah. And then she sings that extended, that when I grow up, and then underneath it, Matilda's like, just because it seems that life's not fair. It's a lovely little end to the song. And then it's time. What happens next?
Well, the next song is she's finishing the story to...
Oh, yes. Then she goes to the windmill, where the library is today.
Yeah, because it's after school, and she, instead of going home, she goes to the windmill.
And she finishes the story, and she tells...
So they do the trick, and it's so suspenseful. She's counting down, and she, like, they're about to die, and then they don't. And Mrs. Phelps is like, oh my god, yes! See, it was a happy ending. And then she's like, no, it's about to get really dark.
And
then her hand slips and...
No. They threw the dynamite crown. They got it off her head and because it was locked to her head. So they unlocked it and threw it in the air. And everyone was like, hooray, that's the triumphant moment. But then it explodes and shakes loose the thing. Oh. So then she's... The cage drops down and he's holding on to her. But then her hand slips and she falls into the sharks.
And she broke every bone in her body.
Except for the little ones at the end of her fingers.
But she was able to live long enough to give birth, even though that baby must have been, like, so premature, but we don't talk about that. But then she dies. And then the escapologist is so kind that he doesn't even blame the evil stepsister. In fact, he invites her to live in his home and help take care of their daughter. But she's awful, and she, like, makes the daughter, like, just scrub the floors and, like, trapped in her room. And then one night, I don't remember how we got into the situation.
So the step aunt locks the child in the basement for a period of time to punish her for not cleaning thoroughly enough or something. And then he comes home early and hears his child crying in the basement. And he's like, oh my God, that's so fucked up. Don't worry, I'm here. And I can't believe I let that happen. And we're not going to let that woman be a problem in your life anymore. And I'm going to kill her. He doesn't say that. He's like very nice to her. But then after she goes to sleep and they have their little loving love song, the I'm here.
Yeah.
Then he's like, the rage in him just boils up. And he's like, I gotta go fight that lady. And he's so angry that the... garbage can, like, crumples up on the street as he's driving, like, because the anger's pouring out of his body and through his eyes and moving stuff. And then she never saw him again. Who knows what happened?
And then when she finishes singing the song and telling the story, she sees that the garbage can in the room...
So she tells the story in chunks. She tells, like, she ends the story with Miss Phelps when the step aunt is, like, mean, and then she's like, and then her, you know, Miss Phelps is like, wow, your parents must feel like they won the lottery, and she's like, yeah, anyway, I gotta go home, because my mom's always saying, I won the lottery, she's like, trying not to cry, and she runs away,
yeah,
and she goes home, and then her dad is like, I did this huge deal with these people, I sold them a bunch of cars that are broken, and I made them look good as new, because I put a drill backwards on the speedometer, so it sped back down to zero, or not the speedometer, whatever, the mile counter, and she's like, no, you're cheating. That's terrible. And her dad is like, oh, you know what? Well, then I'm going to punish you by going to the library tomorrow and telling that lady not to check out books to you anymore. Because the books are making you think things like your dad's a cheater and doing the right thing is important. And I hate that. And she's like, no. And she's crying. And he, like, throws her in the room. And then she finishes. She sings the little I'm Here love song to herself. And imagines herself as the character in the story. And then... when the garbage can in the yard crumples in rage, she turns and sees that her trash can on the side of her room has also crumpled in the rage. Interesting. Anyway, back to school.
Yeah, so then
everyone at school,
they get to school and Miss Trunchbull is like,
they get to school and everyone is like, Matilda, you changed everything. Everyone is so inspired by you saying no. Like, everyone's giving her thing. They're like, here's a little trinket of my, here's a token of my affection. And Matilda's like, what's happening? And her friend is like, everyone's upset. Like, no one's ever said no to Miss Trunchbull like you have. That's incredible. But Miss Trunchbull, on her little spy cameras, hears that conversation and is like, I gotta squash this rebellion so it's time for Fins.
Yes. So she gets in a little ATV or something, but she makes everyone else run alongside her into the middle of the woods for phys ed. And she's singing this song called The Smell of Rebellion. That's about how you gotta squash it and the stench of revolt. And she's just making them, like, run in mud and, like, I don't even remember. It's just, like,
they have to do an obstacle course.
Torture. Then she's doing backflips off the rings and stuff.
And she's also, like, setting off little landmines.
Oh, yeah! They're, like, exploding. Also, we didn't mention this, but her school motto is that all children are maggots. And then she has, like, a scoreboard that says, like, Trunchbull 1,000, maggots 0.
And then...
Oh, and during the song, Lavender sticks her newt in a pitcher of water.
Yes, and then Miss Trunchbull goes to drink from it and sees it, and she's like, oh, God, who did this? And she picks a random child and is going to yell at them and punish them. And Matilda says, now she says, you're nothing but a stupid
loser. Wait, doesn't
loser.
She stretch his ears first?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so she's grabbing him by the ears, and Miss Honey is like, please don't, you'll rip his ears off. And Miss Trunchbull is like, no, I won't. I've learned from many years of practice that boys' ears don't rip off, they stretch. And then she's, like, lifting him up by the ears and pulling them so they're, like, comically long, and it's insane. And then Matilda yells, stop! No, you're just, you're nothing but a big, ugly, horrible, awful bully! And then she turns around.
And Miss Trunchbull starts yelling at her. And Matilda's, like, making a little tornado. But
yeah, then she's singing a song in her head. Or maybe she's singing out loud, but no one else can hear. I don't remember. But this song is called Quiet. And she's, like, everything is, like, going crazy. And she's, like, I can't even hear what she's saying. Everything is just so... whatever. But then... everything goes quiet, and then she's in a hot air balloon, in a hammock, on a hot air balloon, above the clouds, and it's not silence, it's like turning a page in a book, and it's, I don't remember.
Yeah, this is also a lovely song.
Yeah.
Not, When I Grow Up is just, like, the peak of this musical for me, because it is both catchy and...
lovely.
Yeah, whereas this is, like, lovely, but I'm, like, I couldn't really... you know, the beginning is like a little patter song where it's like, but I don't know, like, it's not really melodic. And then the quiet part is, like, also lovely, but kind of tinkly, and but then we come back down to the ground while she's finishing the song, and she's, like, saying, like, it's like I'm in the eye of the storm. And then we start to hear Miss Trunchbull's yelling come back into the world a little bit, and then she hits Miss Trunchbull in the head. She telekinetically grabs a cup with the newt and throws it at Miss Trunchbull, and it bounces off her head, and the newt goes perfectly down her dress, back, and into her underwear.
Knickers.
And she's, like, freaking out and dancing and trying to get it out, and then she runs away like, oh, I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And Miss Honey's like, okay, everybody just keep your heads down and go back inside.
Yeah. And then Matilda is like, Miss Honey, come here. And she puts the cup on something and then moves it, or, like, lifts it up into the air telekinetically. And Miss Honey takes it and she's like, do you want a cup of tea? And then she takes her to her house. And Matilda's like, this is your house? They must not pay teachers very well. And she's like, yeah, they don't. But also, I am especially poor because I was raised... my father died when I was young, and I was raised by my aunt. And once I became an adult, she sent me a bill of every tea bag, everything I ever cost her, and I needed to pay her back in full.
And Matilda's looking around, and she's like, hey, that looks like the stuff from my... dream of the, from the story I've been telling. Like, it's got the scarf of the acrobat, and she's, like, piecing it together, and she's like, wait, was your father an escapologist? Did your mother an acrobat? And Miss Honey's like, yeah, that's so weird that you would guess that. Like, they're very specific jobs.
First, she sings My House.
Oh, okay, sorry. Which... I don't know, we just stepped on her toes. It's a lovely song.
Yeah, she's just
this
saying...
This is maybe the second catchiest song in the show, is... actually.
No, revolting
third,
children.
Third, yeah, yeah.
She's just saying, oh, this is my house. It isn't much, but it's enough for me. And then she puts the scarf on Matilda's neck, and then Matilda's like, where did you get this scarf? And she's like, oh, it's from my father. He was an escapologist? How do you know that? And then she's like, Miss Honey, who is your aunt? And then she's like, well, actually, it's my step aunt. And then she's like, Miss Trunchbull! And then she's like, we need to fight! And she runs out, and Miss Honey's like, Matilda, please. Miss Trunchbull is dangerous. Like, just don't worry about it.
She suspects, like, that Miss Trunchbull killed her dad.
Yeah. And then she's like, I'm dangerous too. And then she storms away, and she goes to the chokey and blows it up with her brain. And then she goes home. And her parents are like, pack your bags, we gotta go to Spain because the mafia wants to kill us. Because
we sold them those bad cars. She's like, but my friends are here. And they're like, we literally don't care.
Yeah.
And this is definitely, I don't remember the stage show well enough, but this is definitely a change from the stage show because there is like a confrontation where you see the mobsters and it's kind of funny and dramatic. And I think at the library too, like they make good on their promise to go tell the librarian not to check stuff out to her anymore. And that just doesn't happen yet. Like, here the parents are just like, we're on the run. You will never see the person chasing us, but rest assured, they're very scary. which is kind of a bummer, but it's fine. She's like, I don't care about this. I'm not going to pack my stuff. I'm going to school.
Well, no, they're like, we'll pick you up after school tomorrow to go to Spain.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't know if she packs her bags or not.
We never see her, but they just tell her to pack her bag. She doesn't have that many possessions.
But then she goes to school, and Miss Trunchbull is pissed that somebody destroyed her chokey, and she's like, Miss Honey's class in, I guess, the cafeteria. And then there's desks everywhere, and they're like, what's happening? And she's like, we're having a pop quiz.
Yes, she announces canteen.
We're having a pop spelling quiz, and if anyone spells anything wrong, you get the chokey, because I made a new one last night. And then she's giving them words, and they're all spelling them right, and she's like, what? You're cheating! And they're like, no, Miss Honey just taught us how to spell. And she's like, how dare you teach them how to spell? So then she makes up a word that she makes Lavender spell, and then she's like, wrong! There's a silent G into the chokey. And then Nigel is like, cat, C-A-F, now I need to go in the chokey too. And then everyone gets up and starts spelling words wrong. And they're like, you can't put us all in the chokey. And then she's like, aha, big reveal. She made a chokey for everybody last night. So now they're all about to get the chokey.
No.
And then,
but Matilda's uses her little psychic powers to have, like, a kind of, this is a little too, like, it just becomes, like, a CGI fight with a bunch of chains. First, she does the thing that happens in the stage show, which is she picks up a piece of chalk and writes, Agatha,
this it's is Magnus,
the name of Miss Honey's dad.
Yeah.
I'm, like,
give Jenny, which is Miss Honey's name, her house back and leave.
Or I'll do you in like you did me, or something like that. And or I'll get you like you got me. Mm-hmm. And Agatha's like, who's doing that? And everyone's like, I don't know. We literally don't know what's happening, except for Jenny and Matilda. And they're like, we'll never tell. And then this set piece that doesn't happen in the stage show, I'm pretty sure, happens where a bunch of chains that were holding up there was like curtains in front of all the chokies. So there was all this chain link to hold up the curtains. And then that she like animates together to make this spooky monster with a big collar who's like grabbing Miss Trunchbull, and she braids her hair and he whips her around.
Pigtails. Yeah. She's like, I hate pigtails.
And then he whips her around like she did that girl and throws her through the ceiling, and she lands on the ground. She catches her the keys to her house fall out, and then she drops her on the ground. Miss Honey takes the keys.
And she's like, this is my school now. You better run. And then she does. And they're all like,
but it kind of takes a beat. There's like a conversation, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. She runs, and then maybe they're like, yay! And then Bruce over the PA starts singing Revolting Children, and then Hortensia joins in, and then they do the whole dance, and they sing Revolting Children, and they go viral on TikTok, and That's that song, which is amazing. I love that song. And then they sing a new song that Miss Honey and Matilda sing to each other called Still Holding My Hand. And we see them... Oh, wait. First, her parents... So they sing Revolting Children, and then her parents get there, and they're like, come on, Matilda, we gotta go. And she's like, but, I don't want to.
No, she's like, it's not my choice. I have to... Because all her friends are like, Matilda, no, stay. And she's like, I simply have to go, and my parents tell me to go with other terrible people.
And then Miss Honey is like, let me take care of Matilda. Like, if she wants me, I'll pay for everything.
Yeah, she just kind of offers it. The benefit also of the mobster chase is that then it's like, clearly you're in a dangerous situation. I could provide a service here. Where it's, in this situation, it's a little bit like, we're moving to Spain. And your teacher is like, no, let me raise your child. There's not necessarily the same.
Yeah.
I mean, she has a gut feeling that Matilda is unloved and abused, which is true, but...
I feel like it's more than a gut feeling.
She doesn't really know anything.
She went to their house and kind of saw her being neglected.
She went to their house and saw the parents saying we homeschool her, and they seemed really dumb and, like, they probably didn't. But then she was so smart that actually I think, like, you don't necessarily, like, you could assume perhaps that those parents weren't lying. It wouldn't be unreasonable to think, like, oh, she actually does have parents who are really homeschooling her, but they felt, like, spooked by us coming and saying, like, if you're not doing a good enough job, you're committing a crime, so they're sending their kid to school. But, frankly, they probably shouldn't have, because this school is full of torture chambers and no opportunities for this very bright kid to learn. So.
Well, regardless, Matilda is happy about it. She runs into Miss Honey's arms, and they have a big hug. Oh, and that was another thing. I feel like I said something before because I was going to repeat it later, and then I forgot. But when she's telling the story to Miss Phelps, I guess, I don't know, but their dad gives her, his daughter, the biggest hug in the world, and it could have squeezed the life out of her or something, whatever it is. And then they sing this song, Still Holding My Hand, and we just see that then moving into the big house that Miss Trunchbull was in, and there's, like, a whole carnival in front of the school. They change the name of the school to the Big Friendly School, and everyone's just so happy.
I was just checking to see that song, the final song is, like, it doesn't have the same, and, like, it just felt, like, kind of basic in a way that the other songs in this musical don't. I was like, I wonder if Tim Minchin didn't write it. But he did. He just, I guess, had been, like, away from the score and wasn't, like, it feels like, like, this is almost certainly a new song because it just has a different vibe to it than the other songs do. Like, it's just got a little bit more, like a pop four-chordy sort of energy to it, which is not something I'm mad about. As I was saying, I don't think this music is particularly catchy. But this song isn't that catchy.
I can't remember anything.
But it just felt like it was, it just didn't even, it didn't feel like it had the same sort of, like, intellectual project as the other music. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, a very, like, sort of, like, soft and sweet final number instead of, like after Revolting Children. I think you gotta keep the energy up. It's, like, kind of a B-minus ending. But it's fine. There's a giraffe at school now. That's exciting.
Yeah, I forgot about the giraffe. Yeah, that's Matilda. I loved it.
I, like, don't know that it's a story that resonates with me, or...
I mean, I don't relate to it.
No, certainly.
It's not a prison, but I don't know, I like it.
Yeah. I don't you know, there's something kind of whimsical about it to me. But there's also, like, sort of like a... like a Brad Bird exceptionalism sort of energy to it that I don't necessarily love. I'm not, like, sad that this wasn't a childhood classic in my childhood.
Yeah.
That kind of feels like a through line in Roald Dahl's work, where it's like, most kids are boring and lame, but some kids are incredibly bright geniuses, and only they have the power to change the world.
Yeah, I don't think that Matilda needed to be as much of a genius as she is, but I don't feel like it's not a Charlie and the Chocolate Factory like all other kids suck.
Yeah, it's frankly sweeter than Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
It loves all the kids.
But I don't know, is that as true in the original too? Like I wonder if that's...
Well, I only know Matilda for the musical.
Yeah.
But it's very loving of all the kids and shows how quickly they can be inspired to stand up for each other as well.
Sure,
it's not like everyone's garbage except this genius Matilda.
The movie starts with like a poll quote on screen that's like, to change the world, you always need a little bit of a genius or something like that. And I was like, I don't love that idea. And that really is what the movie's about.
Yeah, that's true.
It was like a very representative poll quote. But it's, like, fun. It's a lovely little, you know, like, it's sweet and inspiring. The kids all standing on the desk and spelling things wrong is very touching. And When I Grow Up is a beautiful song. It's, like, worth watching. It's just not something that I'm like, wow, what an important message for youth today and always.
I mean, I think there are things you can take out of it that are an important message, but if the main message they're trying to give is that it takes a little genius, then that's not as important. But, like, it takes someone to not be a bystander to make change, then I'm like, yes, kids should be encouraged to speak up for each other and support each other, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfectly fine, and a well-done adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the staging felt like it had a little bit of that Ryan Murphy, The Prom energy to me, where it's like, you just don't want to, like, keep people in the space that, like, you don't trust your choreography in this space to be enough, so we need to, like, for some reason end Miracle on this, like, big cake set piece for some reason, or we need to, like... be in the boiler room with the letter Q on the wall because we're bored of the hallway.
Yeah.
But definitely to a more, like, it felt more artistic and imaginative than The Prom. I'm not trying to slander it.
From the TikTok that I saw of that one moment in Revolting Children, I was, like, really nervous about the choreography. And it was good choreography, I think. But that is true that I felt like, I didn't think about that, but it is true that they could have just stayed in the space more. But, like, things like Bruce, I really love.
Yes, I liked it. There were some times where they really...
But we have a costume change because, you know, it's not really happening. I don't know.
Yeah, that's set out as very good to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Matilda.
Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.